You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. I received a piece of work which was authored by Aaron Ruttenberg, and is entitled The Hidden Accelerator. And it goes on to say the most effective investors don't simply chase market performance. They also build portfolios that are structured for tax efficiency. Now, tax is a murky subject, but Aaron Ruttenberg is anything but murky when describing it. Aaron, what prompted you to write this article?
Thanks, Lindsay. I appreciate that. And good afternoon to your listeners. So the reason I decided to write the article is because everybody's so fixated on returns. They all want to know what the returns for this fund or this share portfolio or this share, etc. are. And I get it. It's what everybody wants. It's to make money. But people forget about structure. And structure leads to tax efficiency. And tax efficiency leads to returns. And that was the reason I wrote the article, to say, okay, well, before you ask me what the returns are, you just got to be invested. That's the word, what investments relate to. It's long-term and patience, and you'll make money. But what about saving money in the structure? Let's talk structure first. So that's why I decided, let me write this article as something that I can keep.
Okay, so what you're saying is that somebody might get a return of, say, 22% annually via being in certain indices or certain stocks or whatever. But if the structure's not there, that 22% can be eroded.
Correct. It's like having a tax-free savings account, for example, or what I call a tax-free investment account, where every 100 rand of dividend that gets paid via an ETF, if you were invested, or unit trust, would be taxed in the general sense at 20 rand. So 20% dividend withholding tax in South Africa, which is completely exempt in certain structures, like a tax-free. So what you receive 100, you keep the 100. So that's effectively what happens, and why I decided to really go into all these different structures.
Yeah, it's interesting, because now we're going to go into what an efficient tax structured portfolio is. And you started with tax-free savings account, but I want to go on to say all growth is completely exempt from income tax. These are your words: capital gain tax, CGT, and dividends tax. Once your contribution is made, every cent of return is yours. That's repeating it. But let's go on to another one. Tax-free savings accounts are fantastic, and I think the cap should be lifted a bit. But anyway, that's another story. What about RAs, retirement annuities? Why are they tax efficient?
So they both the same in effect of the way that things are taxed. All taxes are completely exempt, right? But with a retirement annuity, you can contribute more to that retirement annuity. You can contribute as much as you want, but you do get a deduction which is capped. So you get a 27.5%. Your deductible is up to 27.5% of your taxable income, limited or maximum being 350,000, or that 27.5%. Point is that SARS gives you money back, so for transferring to that RA, as opposed to tax-free, where you're just putting money into the tax-free and then whatever happens thereafter is tax-free. So SARS is actually saying, well, we're going to give you up to 27.5% back for contributing to a tax-efficient retirement annuity, and all those taxes are tax-free.
Okay, so there's another one. And we've got another annuity, and also something slightly more complicated, because you introduced something called Section 10C. But let's start with living annuities. Why are living annuities and Section 10C included in this article?
It's a great segue. So actually, moving on from the retirement annuity side, and that's why I mentioned the 350,000 rand maximum, or the 27.5%. After that, you can build what's called a pool of non-deductible contribution. So you can transfer as much money as you want to a retirement annuity, and what will sit on the side is contributions that were not deductible, and you can keep building this up into what you call a pool of non-deductible contributions. One doesn't have to do this every year. They can do it even the year before they retire, but think of it as a swimming pool. And you've got a swimming pool with all this water, and all that water represents the money that was never allowed as a deduction against your taxable income. What happens then is you retire from a retirement annuity into a living annuity. We'll appreciate that everybody just understands what each structure is. And this is just a tax discussion. When you invest into a living annuity and you have to take an income, which is compulsory between 2.5% and 17.5% per annum, every, depending on the amount you're choosing, will be taxed as income tax from that living annuity. But if you've got that swimming pool of non-deductible contributions, you can effectively pay no tax on your living annuity income because those non-deductible contributions will be just offset against that tax. And so the swimming pool will just eventually get shallower and shallower and shallower until your non-deductible contributions are completely eroded. And that can take a long time depending on the size of your pool. You can transfer as much money as you want if you're lucky enough to.
Right. Now, that is just about understandable for me. And when you talk about swimming pools, when you get out the swimming pool, you have to get wrapped up in a towel. But you're next going to talk about endowment wrappers, in brackets, you say, especially for trusts. Why does that? Why does an endowment wrapper particularly pertain to trusts, would you say?
So I like the way you segued there because...
That's the second time you've used the word segue. You're a frustrated broadcaster, Aaron.
I didn't even realize it, Lindsay. But that wrapping of the towel is quite interesting because it makes you not only dry, but it makes you warmer if it's cold or the wind's blowing. And I like to explain an endowment wrapper as something that protects.
Yeah.
Normally I use the sweet analogy and I'll say to someone, you have a sweet, that wrapper is just protecting you from the tax. Don't see the endowment as something that is performing. It's what's within the wrapper, the share portfolio, the unit trusts. You can have anything in there. So that pays tax at a rate of 30% for income and 12% for capital gains. So anyone who's earning an income tax rate of over 30%, it makes sense because you're being taxed at a higher rate. And also, the 12% capital gain means you're going to be paying more than 12%. So the higher income earners will be paying in the 45% bracket and the 18% effective capital gains tax bracket now go to 30 and 12 respectively. So it can meaningfully improve tax returns. For trusts as well locally who pay 45% straight and 36% on capital gains. So if you effectively structure an endowment, and I can appreciate trusts can only be local in this sense, but if you've got an offshore endowment, you will always pay 12%. You will never pay 30% even on interest. Why? Because endowments we can actually structure in a way that the underlying funds reinvest interest, reinvest dividends. So it becomes a capital gains tax play, in short, which means you pay 12% no matter what you do, switch, withdraw, or partly withdraw. That can be a very effective tool, which is what I also went through on the offshore endowment wrappers.
But yes, you did. You say that. You've actually answered the next part of your article. If structured correctly, these can provide a maximum 12% tax rate. You're talking about overseas endowment wrappers, investment wrappers. So it is, I mean, this is the sort of thing, Aaron, that the average person is not going to be able to find out and fathom, if you see what I mean. They have to have someone like you sitting down with them and telling them about this 12% and about that tax-free this and that. It's terribly complicated. That's why.
Well, for a podcast such as this, you know, to try to keep it surface level, it does sound complicated. But when I sit down with people and I show them the difference of the local endowment versus the offshore endowment versus just both of them and how they are really great for what they are structured for and how you can structure each one individually. There's also estate planning benefits. I mean, I did not mention executor's fees, which get saved on both of them. So I actually can show the difference between what a trust would pay versus, you know, just putting it in a money market account earning interest at 45 over time, what a trust would pay with an endowment. Graphs that show that a mammoth amount of tax, especially over years.
Okay. Again, as a broadcaster, when you said for a podcast like this, I can't make it too complicated, which makes me sound a bit shallow, but I know exactly what you mean, Aaron. So let's sort of wrap this up now. I mean, I don't want to use that word wrap again, but I have. You talk about, again, people that are serious investors don't just look at returns, they look at structures, and structure is terribly important. In your view, do most of the people that come to you with an existing portfolio, for example, have the structure that you prefer?
Exactly. I try and show people that instead of saying to me, what are the returns of the portfolio, especially with a portfolio that they've had, and I could say to them, well, look, we can do better, but your structure is incorrect. You're seeing what's tangible on paper, 16% per annum, 10% per annum, whatever it is. But here is what is intangible. Here is what you have not seen on your statement, which I can work out for you based on the fact that you have not saved any tax or you being tax inefficient. Markets will go up and down. Exchange rates will swing. Tangible returns will fluctuate. But your intangible returns, the tax you never had to pay, will stay with you. Once you've paid the tax, you've paid the tax. It's gone. It's like a loss. But when your investment is down, that can always recover.
Aaron, well explained. Thank you very much indeed. That's Aaron Ruttenberg from Brenthurst Wealth. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.